G'day, my name is Suffolk Ram.
Skaz, yes.
Welcome to episode 226 of the Randers podcast.
Mm-hmm. Not very computery, yeah. 226.
No, we're getting there. Another 30 episodes. Another 30 episodes. And we're 256, and we're there.
See?
But now I will both eat a piece of ram in celebration.
Mmm. Chips. Delicious.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll buy some lamb steaks and chops and get you some chips. And but there you go, a bit of ram.
Beautiful.
I thought that one through. Hope I was well. Hope Skaz, are you well?
I'm alive. I got wet. I had fun and got really wet today.
Oh, yes, you got wet today. What have you been doing, Skaz? Tell all the nice people what you've been up to.
I got really excited, right? And I had this vibrating between my legs. And then just out of nowhere, gosh. And I was really wet.
Yeah.
I was riding a motorcycle down a country lane and there was a massive like ocean puddle, two of them. And on my way to where I was going, the cars were coming towards me and they made me quite wet. And
do you feel the cars, they saw you coming, they're like, oh, we can make this person really wet.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, dude, I couldn't believe how deep that puddle was. It was kind of plopping into the back of my exhaust. I was like, oh no, my feet were soaked.
I say, back of the exhaust is all right. It's your air intake is the problem.
It was not great. It weren't great. And then on the way back, you'd go, Josh, so you must have avoided that. No, it was a really hot day. So I went through that puddle even faster. Well, both of them.
Mate, it has been an extortionately hot day. I was up at the farm today and I'm wearing just like a short sleeve thin shirt, and I do wear a pair of trousers because, you know, big protection, and I was absolutely sweltering. I loved that. I was in my car all day pretty much, the aircon on as soon as I could, went back in the car, aircon
lucky, yeah. Bastard.
Yeah, I go to think that how you must have been after driving that boat. I mean, you must have been like being in a reverse wetsuit when you got back. You know,
I was peeled out of my gear.
Oh, is it like when you have a sock that's really sweaty? You peel it off, it's like, oh,
mate,
that's really horrible.
My shoe, because obviously I went through the puddle, right? I weren't wearing waterproof shoes either. Oh. So the shoes, I just took them off and just poured them and all the water just bucketed out of them. And then I shoe the water. So I parked the bike at my parents' place and walked back home. And there were literally footprints following me back home.
was it squelchy?
Yeah, mate. It was brutal. And then I took my shoes, threw them on the floor when I got home, and you saw as like almost like it kind of compressed a bit, and there was even more water in the bottom. I was like, no! My jeans were soaked. Like, mate, I was soaked. It was fantastic. It looked like I'd pissed myself as I was walking around Southwold today.
The question was, where did the floodwater start and where did the sweat end?
That good question. I couldn't quite figure that one out. So when I peeled myself out, I was just like, oh, mate. But it was great. Great fun.
When Skaz left, he was like sort of like a, you know, he like a 30-inch waist. When he came back, he had a 20-inch waist.
Mate, seriously, mate. I had a massive headache by the time I got home. I was halfway tempted to go up Southwold Pier and like get an ice cream. I wasn't even just going to take my... I was just going to shove the ice cream in my helmet. And just have someone take a fucking picture. It's like, it's too hot for this, man. It's way too hot. It's absolutely nuts. And because I was wearing a t-shirt, a hoodie, a leather jacket.
Yeah. You see, this is the downside of being a biker. Hot weather outside, I've got to put 10 layers of armor on before I get on my bike. Mm-hmm, me, mm-hmm. Get in the car, I'm going to wear flip-flops and shoes, set and shorts today in the car.
And put on my aircon.
Yeah.
Cheeky bastard.
I'm going to say it's about 17. Yeah, it's about right, 17. Oh, that's nice. That's just nice. Nice and relaxing. You know.
And I'm sat there with like his drink is freezing in the car. He's got like a, you know, one of them like beer fridges in his car. Yeah. Cans of Coke, nice and chilled.
As I open the door, sort of steep water vapor comes out as I open the door, like dry ice.
That's like the scene out of Back to the Future when he opens up the DeLorean.
We go on a road trip, we get to the other end, and I go, oh, it's been quite a pleasant drive down here. You guys, like, I'm dying, save me.
There's like a puddle in my boots.
Yeah.
Oh. No, it was great fun. So Mate, I haven't been on the road in years and years and years. I actually found that trailer for Lowest Off to Oslo we made in 2007. Was it 2006?
It would have to be that because it was before we went to UEA, wasn't it? So it would have been 2006.
Mm-mm. No, no. It's after. It's after.
You...
That would have been around 2000, must have been late 2006, early or sometime 2007. Because
I had my Daihatsu 4 track when we did that. And when did I get my Daihatsu 4 track? Because I had the Parents Course, which I wrote off. I definitely had the 4 track the first year I was at Eton College, which would have been 2007. Which would have been 2006/7.
Mm-hmm.
No, 2007/8. So it might have been 2007.
I horribly remember because it was after I lost my flat.
Ah, right.
And that was the gap year 2007. Wasn't fun, but that plan and that trip was, because I remember because the lassie who I shared the flat with was there helping us film it, because we saw her on the way up. I remember that day quite clearly.
Yeah.
That was a fun day. And I found it 240p on YouTube.
Link in the show notes.
Announced for what, 2008? We said we were going to do it July 2008.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
So I think I might do it next year. I've already started pricing it up.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I can get to Calais on 126 quid, so...
Yeah, see, this is the flip side of the whole biker car thing. Yes, I'm the car, the shirt, and the aircon, but my car costs money to run, whereas a bike, you can sort of, like, sort of breathe near it and it'll run for like 200 miles.
Mate, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Like, I can fill my tank for... less than £16, I think, and I'll easily do over 250 miles.
Let's do a Google map from my house to Oslo. Let's see how many miles it's going to be. Okay.
Lots.
Oslo.
Well, no, do it to Calais because I want to know how much is that going to cost. That's what 230 miles or something like that. How much would that be for you to drive? For about £16 quid for me. It's 126 to ride from my house down to, is it Felixstowe for the train?
So
get a ticket for the train and a hotel in Calais.
So and then refuel. That's the trouble. Is Google Maps has given me the train, including the fit in the Channel Tunnel in this.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I'm going to do it to Dover because. That knocks out the Channel Tunnel then.
Okay.
Okay, so my Google Maps tells me it's 170 miles.
All right.
So 170 miles. I think my average at the moment is 44 miles to the gallon.
Ooh.
So that'd be 3.86 gallons.
In fact, that's probably actually better than my sports 4.5. bike.
That's nearest damned at 18 litres. So 18 litres times by... the price of diesel, which is £1.50 at the moment, roughly. It'll cost me £27 to get to Dover. That's not
how
too
much?
Bad. £27.
That's not too bad.
That's too bad. Let's see all the way to Oslo. What would it cost to go to Oslo? Not including the fines. So, Oslo... is 1,016 miles. So 23 times 4.5.
Apparently,
pounds.
I do about 95 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, I could believe that.
On my little bike.
I could believe that. 104 pounds, so I'll see 105. So look at £210 round trip, not just in full.
That's not too bad. It's not bad.
It's not horrendous, no. But that's not including all your stops on the way and so forth.
I think we should do it.
Certainly something to look into. On the plot, I tell you what we can do, because we have to drive through Denmark at some point. We can crash at Zaber's.
Well, here's the thing, because Zaber wants to meet us at Calais.
Oh, okay.
The reason I started looking into this was because I was getting one of my bikes back on the road, because I'm going to go see a mate on the 24th. Mm. But Zaber said he wanted to go on the Eurotunnel, but Zaber, for reasons, was kind of apprehensive going on the tunnel, and I said, "Well, what I'll do is I'll meet you in Calais."
Yeah.
And then we'll both come back over, if that's cool with him. So then that way, we can just chat and shoot the shit rather than him just sitting there by himself going, "Oh my fucking god, I'm on a train in a tunnel under the sea." Mm.
Yeah, the route that it's given me actually doesn't go through the Eurotunnel; it goes through the ferry that goes.
Yeah, Zaber definitely wouldn't take that.
Is he not? Let me just.
He's not a boatman. He's not a boatman.
All right. Well, I've dragged down. Let's recalculating. That's like an extra 150 miles onto the trip that adds. 2187
divided by 44. Let's have a look. How do I do directions?
About 250 pounds roughly. If we went via Calais.
Fair that. All right, and we don't want to take that. We want to go. Did you say you wanted to go like Copenhagen way in that?
So the route it's taking me is no. By default, it's took me on a ferry, so I've now dragged it down to make it go through Calais. So yeah. Come across Calais. The route it's taking me is across into Antwerp, through Antwerp and Belgium. Up sort of skating for the Netherlands, up for a place called Munster, then to Bremen, then to Hamburg, then to Flensburg, and then go into Denmark.
Yeah.
Then go to Denmark, then take a ferry in Denmark across to Stavanger, Oslo, then up to Oslo.
Stavanger, Oslo, where is that?
If you scroll right where the ferry comes in, it doesn't come, so it comes in at.
Is that Larvik. The one on the? Is that the one on the north coast?
Yeah. So basically, if you go to Denmark,
yeah,
right up to the top of the Denmark, and you see a plate. There's like a little, not the bit that sort of sticks out to the right. There's like a place left called. Hirishals.
Yeah.
And then the ferry takes us across, all the way across to basically, if you see it zoomed out, you'll see Stefan, you'll see Seven Louvain, there's Larvik. Larvik's where it arrives.
Oh, okay. So you don't want to go from Denmark up towards Gothenburg then?
Well, I mean, you can, but at a huge distance to your journey.
Yeah, but again, Zaber won't boat.
All right, okay. That'll add about. Well, there are looking at this, guys. Wherever you go, there are boats.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to Mr. T him and just you know.
Yeah.
So I've just had a look. Guess what is it? 1,019 miles.
Is that from Calais you're going from?
Yeah. Oh no! Right, no, it took me back on that fucking ferry again. Get I was gonna say because
I'm 1,260 miles. This is fascinating. This is a great podcast until people listen to us plan a holiday. This is a great podcast. So,
well, I think we're gonna have to do this because we said we were gonna do it years and years and years ago. And as I say, Zaber wants to meet up in Calais at some point, and he probably wants to come back over to the UK. Do you remember we said actually we'd do the UK triangle trip? Last off to Land's End, Land's End to John O'Groats.
I want to do, actually, what I want to do is similar to that in the UK. I want to do the compass points of the UK. Because where the most easterly, I want to go down to the most southerly, then across the most westerly, then up to the most northerly, then back down.
Yeah.
Because do you know the most westerly part of the UK is actually in Scotland?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That does not surprise me.
Because where we're orientated, it's a lighthouse in Scotland.
Do you want to do it?
I would love to do that, yeah.
Well, because Zaber said he'd join me on a couple of the UK rides.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll meet him in Calais, come back over.
Yeah. Are you doing a return trip? Yes, literally a return trip. We're just going there to meet someone and come straight back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Come Calais, and then, yeah. I mean, yeah, just do the compass points.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I've got a bike now. Let's do it.
I've got a car that works. So the car's going to the garage, but I've got a car that works.
See? Or yeah. If not, we can all bundle into your car and drive you nuts.
Yeah. But do a full-on Randers road trip.
That'd be, insane.
Yeah. So... Yeah, well, if you heard it here first. If you can make it affordable enough, yes.
I love it. Oh. All right.
Right, shall we go on the actual podcast now?
Yeah, mate. Ram has been playing.
So, I've been playing a game called Meeple Station.
The hell is that?
It's a game inspired by, like, RimWorld. But okay. The idea is you're building a space station for the Meeples. The Meeples are this alien race who look suspicious like humans. And, the idea is it's an isometric game. You have a grid, and you basically have to build a space station up, and then you have to, like, harvest resources, and you can do trading, and all sorts. You can mine asteroids. Neat little feature that your space station can be up to 32 levels thick.
Right.
Which is most games, like, hey, you can have a second floor, you can have a third floor. No, this is going to have 32. Doesn't really actually very useful. So let me take you through the various stations that I have created. Let's talk about station one. And when you start the game, you know, you create your state, you just build a station, and first, when you first build it, it's built from money. You get given a set fee of money, it's like 7,000 credits to build it, and you have to build all, like, the, there's a choppiness of what you need to put in it, so you have not, it's not just about building walls and holes and stuff, you need to make sure you've got an airlock, you need a place for ships to dock, you need to make sure you've got some solar panels for power, you need to make sure you've got, like, an oxygen generator, water tank, all sorts of stuff you need to keep alive. It's quite a long list, about sort of 20 things you need to have before you can even start. You know, the game's like in a pause mode where you build this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you build it all, and you do that, and then the game asks you usual, like, what's your game? Obviously, my leader's name is the Suffolk Ram. Then it asks you what your nation was called. So my first nation was called the Sheep Empire, because I do it sheep theme. And I called the space station Uranus, spelled EWE, Uranus.
Very good. Very good.
That came to me in an instant. I was so pleased with myself. So, I built the station, and you get 5 meeples to start with. So, you all come on board, and how can I put this nicely? The game is supposedly version 1.08 or 09. This does not feel like a version 1 game. This feels very much still like its early access level game.
Right.
Similar things like the interface doesn't tell you really anything useful. You'll be like, for example, you have to get these meals, you have to sign them jobs. So you go onto the management screen, you click assign job, and you get a list of all the sort of like the jobs you can assign them. However, all you basically get is like a picture of the uniform and then what skill they need to be to do it, not a description.
That's not helpful.
So, no. I mean, obviously, you can very quickly work out by clicking things, but it's like, would it really kill you to put a title saying, this is a doctor?
Is it not like a hovering tooltip or anything? Or?
Nope. No hovering tooltip.
Nothing at all.
There are no hovering tooltips at all in this game. It tells you very little at all. There's so much stuff missing from the interface that you're like, I need to know this. So I assigned people to mine. Off they went flying mining. And I sent people to... And you have to mine ice to make oxygen. And they come back in the mine ice, and I notice as Bill Thor came back in that no one's making anything, no one's building anything, or stuff. They're building stuff, but they're not like using the refinery and stuff. And food's dropping off, and no one's making food. And then I notice the oxygen's going down. I'm thinking, why is this? What have I not done? This is where I should play the tutorial.
That's so do they're not auto-assigned for anything?
They no, by default they're like called a civilian, and I have to then say to them, okay, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, and you give them a job.
You've
role.
Not defined the area for the thing that you wanted them
you.
To do.
Oh no, no, no. I forgot to do the plumbing. Because basically you have to you have to basically, after you build your base, you have to go into another mode, which is where you connect up all the wiring and all the plumbing. So you have electrical power, oxygen, water.
So you gave them walls and nothing
I gave them all the stuff they needed. I just didn't pop the plumbing of it in. I basically did the equivalent of walking to someone's bathroom, popping a toilet down and going, there you go. Bathroom. Job done. Yeah. It's a bathroom now. But it's not connected to anything. Yeah, it's a toilet, isn't it? So basically, over the course of the next several minutes, people suffocated, or they starved to death because they couldn't food. See, after you go past the main mission, the only way to build stuff is you need resources. But the resource I needed was quartz, I think I needed. And the quartz needs to be refined, but the refinery needs power. And so I couldn't buy, I didn't have anything to make the power cables because I couldn't refine anything to make the power cables.
Nyctopia in space.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they all started. Some guys had spacesuits on. They kept, they were right. They kept getting their oxygen back. But basically, I got to the stage like, well, there's absolutely nothing I can do for you because I can't connect any power, but I've got no money and I can't buy this stuff. There's no way to buy the resources I need. I guess you guys are just going to sort of like live, so I'm going to quit this game. Bye, guys.
The guys in the spacesuits felt really happy, really lucky at that moment as all of their friends, oh, look, my family's dead, but I'm fine.
Yes. So then we moved on to Station 2, the part of the New Sheep Republic, and the station was called Lamtastic. So this...
All right.
Okay. It was. I was trying to think of a name. And the best I could come up was Lamtastic. I don't know why it's just come to me.
Good job.
Yeah. So this
I want that sprayed on the side of your car when we do that trip.
Lamtastic. So we could probably get some magnetic vinyls on the side of the car. Oh yes, get with the Van Nerds. Very funny. Yes, yes, Van Nerds. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So this station, I remember this time I did it from. I built it again. But this time I did the plumbing. I plumbed everything up. I got the power to everything. Marvelous. All worked. Everything was going on. People started doing stuff, started working, and they were like bringing materials in. It's been refined. I was making things. It was great. These people though were really messy. There was just scrap being everything. I actually at one point I had five people, two of which decided to be janitors because it's the only way I could keep on top of the mess they're making. It didn't help that I put the toilets in the middle of the dining hall. That was probably not a good plan.
No.
And then they kept making messes and they kept getting more and more messy. They weren't tying it quick enough. And at some point, somebody's poo became sentient and escaped the toilet. And then it just started going around the base and just creating poo stains everywhere.
What is this, Doom 3?
I couldn't figure out how. Well, the thing is, it says it doesn't seem particularly hostile, but it's not exactly friendly either, was the description. So I'm just going to poo, and no one's doing anything.
It's not particularly hostile, but it stinks.
You can't click on it. Well, that's the problem. I couldn't click on it to like say, go do something to it.
The fact that one thing had a description.
Yeah. It's like, it's technically called a strange blob, but we all know it's a sentient poo. And it's leaving shit everywhere. What do you expect? And I couldn't, the janitors weren't cleaning up quick enough and they weren't going after it to deal with it. And I was like, what has this happened? And it turns out that I didn't have enough waste extractors. So I was not getting rid of poo quick enough and it eventually got backed up and became sentient. Similar things happened to Portaloos in the summer at festivals. So the thing is though, because everyone starts to smell of poo, people start getting very stressed out. Really stressed out, and I knew things weren't going well when all of a sudden one of the people went and spaced themselves. And it's like, oh, this, and he was the janitor as well. It's like,
No,
so well, apparently he got really fed up dealing with the shit. And
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I saw, look, so what can I do? What's going on with this? Because the other thing about this game is, this game tells you fuck all. It tells you nothing.
Nyctopia 2 in space.
There's a problem. You have no way of re-diagnosing it or work out what's wrong because nothing tells you anything. There's no tooltips. Nothing tells you anything. I didn't realize until I basically dug through some Steam forms that basically I had a backup of waste. So I quit that level after two more people killed themselves. I quit that level and left the main two there, presumably. And at this point, there was two more sentient poos running about. It's just horrific, guys. The picture it's just fecal matter everywhere. It was they were just wallowing in their own filth. It was disgusting.
Ram,
yeah.
Have you not learned anything from your previous Nyctopia experiences that this is probably not this is not a career path for you, mate? I'm sorry.
Yes, but you see, like a high level CEO. Every time I leave somewhere, I get promoted and get given another job regardless because I can do no wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So that brings on to space station number 3.
Oh, my this God. I'm just going to stop. Sorry. How many did you have?
Let's see how we get there.
Okay.
So space station number 3. This space station, again, run by me, is part of the Democratic People's Republic of Sheep.
Okay.
All right. And
you are dear leader.
I was really proud of that name when I came over. I was so proud. And
were you in the cider zone through all of this?
No. This is the coffee zone. Because this is this afternoon. This oh, is, I call this one Sheepy Lawn 3. After Babylon 5, this is Sheepy Lawn 3. Which I didn't know, I just remembered after I named that in storyline, Babylon 5. Obviously, there's Babylon 3. Babylon 3 got destroyed mysteriously.
Oh,
so,
dear.
So that's a good start. So this time, right, I planned it. I put in 3 waste extractors. I put in lots of toilets, lots of plumbing everywhere. I spent all my money. I built multiple layers and so forth, and everything was going well. I started it all up, and yes, the waste level was low. Excellent. They're mining stuff. Excellent. Why is that guy starving to death? I've got a chef, and the chef is cooking things. And that's when I realized that level 3, I somehow managed to build this weird Escher-style thing where the ladder, which I thought went up to level 3, because I had a ladder in the corner, went up all through 3 floors, didn't go up to level 3. And the guy was up there in the room with all the bedrooms, quietly starving to death. And it made
sense.
Sounds
like the average PC gamer that's moved out of his mum's house.
Exactly. And it also made sense why all the other people complained that there was no beds, because they couldn't get to the beds. There were beds. The beds were there. They just couldn't get to them.
What did you do to the ladder, Em?
I didn't. I forgot. I thought I installed it, but I installed it in the wrong place. So basically, one ladder going up to a blank ceiling, then another ladder going down to non-existent floor. So,
I mean, it's great because through the floor, I would imagine they would have connected. They were in that in the location but of. Just, there was no hole to get through.
No, the problem was they weren't lined up. What I thought was lined up wasn't lined up. They weren't actually lined up with each other. So, like, one ladder was going up, and the leveler was like sort of like a couple spaces over. So, I didn't realize this till quite late on. This is what the problem was. And I was like, shit, he's so different. He's like my best guy. I can't have him starve to death. Otherwise, I'm fucked. So it was like, right, everybody, build fucking ladders. You know, where you put them, just put them everywhere. Somewhere we'll find a ladder. So all my guys start building ladders. And eventually, I hit the gold. I managed to build a ladder to the floor and he can get back downstairs. I mean, he's been stuck in there since the space station opened. I don't know how they got him in there, but he's been stuck in there since the space station opened. He comes down. This then brings me on to the game's terrible AI.
Right.
The guy, right, his food is like critical. It says, if you click on it, it says he's starving to death. It's literally, this guy's on the way out. His food level is critical. Right, he comes down. He decides the best thing to do is go do some work because he's a research scientist. And he goes to work. He starts where he goes, actually, no, I don't do that. Then he decides, no, I'm going to go have a poo instead. So he goes back up and he has a poo. Okay, great. He then starts walking over to the food cabinet thinking, yes, he's going to actually eat something now before he starves to death. No, no, he turns off at the last minute and just goes, like, stares at the fish in the fish tank. I was like,
okay.
Eat some fucking food, mate, please. You're starving to death. Every time I look at you, says you're starving, you're stressed out your head because you're starving to death. Eat some fucking food. Just eat it. Eventually, he did eat some food. But then he started whinging, complaining. They all started whinging, complaining because there was no privacy. Because previous versions, I built everybody their own separate bedroom. This time I thought, no, I'll save some money because I ran out of money last time. This time I'll save some money and build and have a communal bedroom. And they all complained about lack of privacy. And one guy was like, well, I really don't feel I should be a janitor. And the reason he was a janitor was because he had the highest janitor skill. However, he had a lot higher skill in being an officer. So I went, oh, fine, be an officer then. Just walk around, be an officer, right? That'll bring your stress level back up, down again. Made him to an officer. It brought his stress level down a little bit, but not by a lot. And eventually, he's so annoyed by the fact that he doesn't... Now he's complaining, he doesn't feel he's contributing. Because he's an officer, I don't need an officer, but he wants to be an officer. So I give him the job he wants, he complains. I give him a job that I need, he complains. Thought, bloody hell, you can see why people, like the governments turn their people, can't you?
Mm-hmm,
And so you know what he does? Do you know what he does? Spaces himself. For fuck's sake. Right. Then someone else spaces himself. For reasons, lack of privacy. Fuck's sake. They are so annoyed being around people, they decide to go die in the void of space. Just to solve their problem.
Well, okay. They wouldn't handle living in the UK or China or...
No, this is my point. It's a fucking space station. It's cramped. Space station implies cramped quarters, you know?
They're all claustrophobic, man.
In one of the pictures, they show you the space station, example space station. They've got like a room which has got like 1,000 beds in it. That's a bit of exaggeration, but it's got a lot of beds in it. And it's like, well, you can't have that because every person you have just complains and whinges and moans about the whole situation. So, right, okay, quit. So then we move on to station number 4, part of the United Sheepdoms. I've decided to change tat for naming this one. This is called Invincible 4. Don't ask about the other 3.
Right.
Now, this time, I thought, fuck it. I ain't going to mess around multiple levels. I'm literally going, I'm going to do minimum viable product. I'm literally going to build the room as small as it needs to, as it can be, to make fulfill what it needs to do. So, like, the airlock. It's got the docking port, the airlock, and the racks of the spacesuits on, and a door to go in there. Small as I can possibly get it. That's all the right. Airlock. And I do it for every single room. But I make sure everybody has their own bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And I make sure every other room has a nice sort of separate area. It's got plenty of space, plenty of food. Wire it all up. Touch wood, everybody's still alive. No one has died yet.
Yet.
But it's early days. So now it's like, okay, now what do I do? Because this game fucking grinds. To get stuff, you need to research stuff. In the hours I've played, I've never successfully researched anything. Because it takes so bloody long, either people starve to death, suffocate, or kill themselves in the process of trying to research something.
Right.
I mean, this isn't a great advert. Now, publicity-wise, this isn't great. You know, Max Clifford couldn't sort this out. So, you know, it just isn't working. But so far, the research stuff, and it's like, okay, well, I suppose there's nothing I can do now while they're researching that. And, like, everything, because you have to, if you want minerals, you have to, like, collect the minerals in, which ain't crushed, and you have to refine them to stuff you can use. That takes ages. Everything just takes so long. So, unlike RimWorld, which had a bit of a grind trip, but it still was quick enough that you could sort of, like, feel like you're building stuff up. It's like, it takes so long to just refine, like, 5 bits of steel, which you need just to build, like, 1 square of your hole to expand. So if you want to build like a room, say for a bedroom, that's like 4 squares. That's 20 steel. That's 20 steel. That takes fucking forever to create and so forth. I've got to put where I basically just left the game running and walked away and came back.
I'm not liking how that goes.
Yeah, well, no, so far, I just kept checking in, and I made sure everything, all the resources were balancing. They were like, okay, we're getting enough oxygen in, it's fine, everything's balancing, good. There's no sentient poos anywhere. It's okay, we've got plenty of race extractions, that shouldn't be a problem, that should not be an issue that's going to happen. We won't have a dogma situation here. Seems all good. So everybody's alive so far, but it just takes forever. And frankly, this game isn't very good. But it's so many, it doesn't feel like it's Final Fantasy version 1.0 does not feel anywhere near finished.
Mm.
It's little things like, okay, somebody's stressed. I have here a list of all the things I can buy, and you can put your mouse and it tells you what they do, right? But none of them actually say, oh, this will help deal with stress. Well, this will do. So I've just got to guess, basically, and hope that I'm guessing correctly. Some things are obvious. But a lot of things are like, no, it doesn't make sense at all. It's just it's basically per trial and error to try and figure out what you need to do to fix something.
Sure.
And that just is frustrating. It's like, I want some just numbers here. You know, they're complaining about the space station. One thing that is possible, fortunately, in Invincible 4, one of the things they are complaining about is space station feels cheap or something like that. It's like, well, what do I do to solve that? You're not, that doesn't help me. It doesn't give me any more information that I can work from to try and solve it. So I just can't. So when you can't solve it, when you figure out you have to dig through and basically have to rely on Steam forums to try and answer your question, you think, oh, this is annoying. Loads of interface bugs. So like if you click on something, the menu that opens up stays there.
Right.
Unless you click well away from it, it just stays. So you can scroll around. The menu will stay in the exact same position on the screen, so it will scroll around the screen, but the item you clicked on has disappeared off screen. Little logical things like, as well, like the pathfinding for the people is dumb. They won't always find the jobs, or they'll like decide to, rather than walking up a set of stairs to go repair, so they'll go out an airlock and tackle it from the outside. The AI just has no idea how it needs to work, so they won't go. If they're hungry, they don't always go find food. Or, as I had one AI, got stuck in a loop. He was sleepy, so he went and had a sleep. He got up, and of course, the moment he got up, he started feeling his energy level started to drop again. He's like, oh, I'm a bit sleepy, I better go back to sleep again.
So, is there no way? Can you direct them in any way?
No. That is the other thing. There's no way to take, say, do this. And that is not inherently a problem if the way they did it was intelligent. They don't do anything intelligently. So, yeah, I basically want to say, you just fucking do this. Just do it now. Just do it. But I can't. You can't do that. There's just so many little interface bugs in there. It feels not finished. Doesn't feel like a version 1 game. If this was an early access game, I'd be a lot more gentler on it. Because if it's early access, you know, version 0.5, you expect it to be a bit shoddy. You do. But once you say a game's version 1 and you're charging 15 quid for it, I'm sorry. The bug should be minor. They shouldn't be major. And it should just have not these fundamental problems with it. So it's got so many problems with it. I just couldn't possibly recommend it. RimWorld's so much better. RimWorld in early access was so much more polished than this game was.
I'm curious how you'd get on with something like Dwarf Fortress, because Dwarf Fortress is ridiculously complicated at times.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind, but there's some logic to it as well. It wouldn't be so much a problem, but it just feels there's no logic. So like, yeah, you get a sentient space blob. Okay. You give me no clue of how I should deal with it. I can't click on it. I can't tell them to interact with it. That Jazz is just quite happy for this sentient space poo to wander about. Well, I've got Jazz and I've got hazmat people. What do they do? What? At one point, does a hazmat person take control and a Jazz not take control? What's the difference between the two? But you don't. And as I say, all the roles don't actually tell you what they are. They're just roles. There's no obvious way to get additional. But if your people die, there's apparently no way to get more of them, from what I can see. So you're done. So it's just, and the last update to it, last update was out July last year. So I've done no more patching since July last year. So it's been now, 16 months? So, like, come on, guys, you know, you should be fixing these things. Just the quality of life, that's all it needs, a bit of quality of life improvements to make it a little bit more easy, more flow a bit more better. And then sort of thing. I mean, the characters are meant to like sort of like get on and dislike each other and so forth, but they never felt like individual enough to be that. I think because you just sometimes do whatever and they'll just be good at it and so forth. There's no the character interaction between the different meeples just doesn't feel very refined. Again, RimWorld built that up a lot better. You know, you had these relationships form and so forth, but what the characters think of each other, I don't really give a shit.
Sure.
So giving credit for what they tried to do, it's an interesting concept. I like the idea of like building a space station so far. I like the concept. It's a bit poorly executed, a bit half-hearted executed. So sure. I wish them to come back and actually try and finish it. But you know, it's not there yet, and you're charging way too much for this game. 15 quid's way too much, should be a fiver.
Right.
So.
Hello.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So that's me. Well, I gave it a good shot. I mean, I said I condemned three spaces to death. That's all the things. There's some icons that will tell you what's going on, but there are others that don't. I mean, if I'd done more of the tutorials, I'd understand more. But I just went straight into it. But, you know, another little simple interface bug, right? So the game the game doesn't fit the way when it resizes for different resolutions, it doesn't do it very cleanly. So on a standard, standard 16:9 monitor, it's fine. But SpyFact's got a setting, and it's settings for ultra wide. If you set it up, it basically it's stretched in one direction, but doing so it squishes like the vertical. So stuff disappears off the screen, so you can't ever click on it. So you have to look at the shortcuts, so you can't use them.
Right.
And the scroll is so slow. If you want to scroll, it's so slow, you have to grab the bar and put it down because it's so slow. It's just so many little things that they just need to improve. So many little things.
Is there any way to like submit like a bug report or anything? Or
I don't know. I haven't looked. Okay. Probably. But they've got a website. They got a website with a press kit and a Discord, but from the community section I've seen, it appears that they've sort of disappeared.
All right.
I think they got it out there. They got the basics out there, and then it's like, oh, we actually don't know what the passive of more they could chew. They've tried to put. It feels like they've tried to put 1,000 things in it straight away, without getting like the basics right.
They tried to dwarf fortress in space without actually knowing half of how dwarf fortress works.
Yeah. Get the interface right first. Get the interface working right. Just little things. I want to be able to like put my mouse over something and click. Oh, another little annoying feature, right? You can't. You build an extra room onto your space station. By default, destroys the wall. Okay, so you put a new wall in. That wall needs a door. So you go and you put the door in at the same. You think at the same time. No. You have to wait for the wall. If you put the door in, it'll build the wall, and they'll build the door as a separate thing to it. So you need to build the wall first and then put a door in after it's been built.
Right.
Just a little thing like that. It's like, well, why? That shouldn't be a thing. You shouldn't have
like,
What you're saying is,
I have assigned these tasks. Surely you should complete them in a logical order.
Or simply like, the door should overwrite the tile, because it's a tile-based game. The door should overwrite the tile of the wall. Say, this is now a door section. You're building a door here, not a wall. But it doesn't. Mm. It works if you've built the wall and you put a door on it, works. But if you do it at the same time, it doesn't work. And it's just little things like that. So many little things sort of ruin something that has potential.
Right.
With a little bit more work, this could be another. And there's no real. I did a campaign, and the campaign objective is grow your space station, but it's got no What do they mean by grow your space station? Do they mean just in sheer size? Do they mean have certain things on it? Do they mean certain layers? What do they mean by grow your space station? No, the objective is so vague, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, it's a shame because it has potential, but it's just got lots of little problems with it. And I say to the guys, if you're going to build something like this, if you're going to make a game like this, get the base up, get the interface right, get that done right first, get it working. So it's nice and clean and simple and get it all feedback. And once you've got that, you can assign your mechanics and then get the mechanics of these. Because the interface is what the player will spend most of the time interacting with.
Yeah, of
not
course.
The systems inside. So get that work. And when they can't find something useful out, then you've fucked it, basically. So, Burst Meeple Station, I say, if they come back to... I couldn't recommend it. Buy RimWorld instead. If you ain't got it ready, and if you have got RimWorld, just go back and play it again. Because it's far superior to this in so many ways.
Sure. There. So, that's fair.
Right, so that's the game I'm playing, Scars. Is there anything you would like to finish with?
I haven't really been doing a lot, because again, this summer holidays have only just finished. However, I did finish Ghostwire Tokyo.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk a huge amount about it because you've already done that whole podcast of talking about Ghostwire Tokyo. But my God, that game ends quickly. That story accelerates at a pace. There are very few key plot points in it. Is what I'm getting at. You know, the story beats are like, bam, there, bam, there, bam, there, bam, there, it's done.
Don't you find that a lot, though? A lot of these sort of like RPG games, the main story is actually very short. I mean, even for like how big Cyberpunk was, its main story is actually quite short.
It is quite short, but there's also a lot to do. The city is quite big, whereas... Tokyo, Ghostwire Tokyo, Tokyo doesn't feel big at all.
Mm.
You can clear all of the gates incredibly quickly.
You can, yes.
The side missions are nothing burgers.
Nope.
The AI for the side missions, trash. Mm. Seemed like there was a lot of padding and the story was really, really, really thin. Really thin. Like, I died a few times in combat, but that was mainly because, like, I'd play the game and I'd forget how to play. Like, I'd come back to it, like, a little bit later and forget how the controls and that worked. Or, like, I wasn't paying attention and I'd get caught by a thing that would one-shot you or whatever. But some of the boss fights were pathetic.
Yeah.
The story was... It was fun.
The story's fun. It's nothing.
I think it's
a tale that's been told again and again and again and again.
Did you finish it?
I've still not played it anymore since we last spoke.
Right. Well, I don't want to put you off it. Just I think this is a problem I have with a lot of games these days is that they don't have polish. They don't have polish. I was so surprised that I'd get to like chapter 3, get to like chapter 4, and then I could almost go 1, 2, 3. Oh, I'm on chapter 5 now. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I'm on chapter. Oh, the credits are rolling. Where's the rest of it? The story seemed to move along very quickly without much kind of. There were no gradients in between the beats.
No, it is quite a quick story.
You know, same with like Cyberpunk had quite a bit of. It felt. I don't want to be mean to this game. It felt like Skyrim, or like Morrowind, or whatever. The story just happens incredibly quickly, and then there's loads of stuff to try and pad you out.
Yeah,
and the paddy outy bits just don't mean anything. They don't do anything for it.
It's a big issue that a lot of us, as a a few minutes ago, a lot of RPGs seem to have where the main story is over so quickly if you just do the main story.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they either intend you to do a main story mission, then go away, do a few other bits and pieces and come back to the main story mission, or they intend you to do the past couple of missions and forget about the main story, go do everything else and then come back.
See, I didn't find the... Because I started doing the other stuff. By the end of it, I'd barely learned how to use the map. I avoided, after like the first couple of hours, I avoided side missions because they were just pointless.
The side missions are crap. They are so stupidly short. There are few interesting ones in it. There yeah. are few, but the few interesting ones are vastly outweighed by this. There's a monster over here. Can you go help it? Yes, I will. Oh, there it is. Shoot it. Oh, thank you very much. Here's some ghost coins.
Yeah, or how do you get into this building? Oh, there's a yokai blocking the door. Or there's a yokai blocking an entrance. Oh, yeah. You've cleared the yokai. Job done.
Can I just say, the very first time I exposed the yokai, I jumped out my skin because I was like so close to the door, just suddenly this massive eyes appeared on my screen.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I get you.
I think, Charles, all the side missions in Ghost War are basically like the fixer contracts in Cyberpunk, like little short missions that basically go take you a few minutes, and all the proper side missions, which, you know, if you do them, you're going to be, in general, Cyberpunk side missions were pretty decent overall.
Yeah,
they were nice. This just there's. Have you done the bit with the school?
A bit with the school. So you mentioned that, and I didn't see it.
That is, it basically came part of the DLC. It's part of the one of the things they patched into it. Where is it about? I'm trying to remember if I heard. You know, there's like a canal that runs through. There's like a sort of like series of apartment blocks just beyond that canal. You have to search for the apartment blocks as part of the main mission. You have to go into one of the apartment blocks, which triggers one of the boss battles, where you're chasing it triggers like a bit where you chase somebody through.
Because everything goes all distorted and you have to chase it around to... Yeah.
So where those sort of blocks are, imagine on the movie, to the left of that, there's like an area, there's a school there, and if you find... a guard, one of the ghosts, who will basically ask you by name, will ask for K by name.
Mm-hmm.
If you find him, he'll say to the school, and that school is basically, was added in this DLC, and it's basically a self-contained set of like two or three side quests built in this one place. Probably takes you like an hour or so to go through it, and it's like a little sucksy bit, and it's got some interesting mechanics in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how all side missions should have been.
Yeah. I kept on mentioning on my playthrough that like Ram was talking about this really cool side mission. Ram was talking, and I couldn't find it. I didn't find it.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine had the game had stuff as you describe it, it would have probably been pretty solid, but there was just so much nothing content in it.
Yeah.
And when you're like, oh yeah, feed the dog. The dog then puffs its way through a bunch of bags and like bins and stuff like that, and just everything explodes and flies away because physics, you know, because AI pathing in that game's atrocious. Yeah. It was.
But what about the little Koopa Koonie things? There's nothing.
Oh, the Tanukis.
They're so cute.
I only saw a handful of them.
And you get to, and you, there's something quite amusing about walking around a corner and seeing a traffic cone with a raccoon's
with
the
tail. Yeah.
So and you go up to it and it's all like, oh, you found me. Oh, okay then. I guess I'll go back to my boss now. It's like, they're so cute.
Yeah, they were all right, I suppose. They were all right. I didn't find a lot of them. The thing is as well, I find that when I play games like that, I get overwhelmed by the map quite early on because of all the different icons. I'm like, whoa, Christ, what am I doing? Kind of thing. And it takes me a while to actually go, oh, that's what all this means. And then I kind of decode it and get into a groove and figure it all out. I had that with Cyberpunk very early on. Cyberpunk was very overwhelming at the start.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much stuff pops up on the screen. You're like, what do I do? Ghostwire had that kind of thing, but in Ghostwire... So in Cyberpunk, very early on, I did one of those like little side contracts. And it was. Did you ever do the one about the ex-soldier apartment, and you try and talk him down, and stuff happens.
Yeah.
That mission pretty much sold me on Cyberpunk. I was like, whoa, that was heavy.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that in Ghostwire.
No.
Nothing at all. There was nothing interesting going on in that game at all, ever, because all of the people you could possibly interact with are fucking gone. They're spirits. Yeah. So they're these just random blue blobs with squeaky voices.
Yeah. Ghostwire is a game that feels like it feels so close to almost being great.
Yeah.
It's like if it's just on the edge of it's almost there, but it didn't quite make it. There's a little bit more thought to it, a little bit more thinking to it. It could have been good. I say, make the side missions a lot more in depth. Cut half them out if you need to, but just have fewer but better, but more interesting ones.
Yeah.
Just, it is so close. That's why I said it's basically, if I was going to score, it'd be like sort of a 7 out of 10. It's almost good. It's almost a really good game, but not quite there.
I'd give it maybe a 5 or a 6.
Yeah.
Because... The main missions were okay, but were over too quick. The side missions... I didn't need to do them. I was overpowered as fuck.
Yeah.
Healing items were easily bought, so it didn't even matter if you took big damage. And once you unlock the fireball, the fire weaving, mate, just things die in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I found maybe 2 enemies in that game to be even remotely tricky to kill.
I like the enemies, though. I found the enemies interesting. I did quite like them.
Too many of the same enemy.
Yeah, what variation of the theme. You mean?
Well, more like... All I'm seeing is dudes with umbrellas. Chicks spitting bubbles at me. Fish people. There weren't that many... The variety of enemies, there weren't that many. There were like maybe 5 different enemies, and then, as you say, you know, variations of a type.
Yeah,
there was nothing there.
Do you not get any of like the do you not get like sort of like the spinny blade dude?
Oh yeah, like 3 in my entire playthrough. 2 or 3 I think. Okay. Yeah. I actually got an achievement, I think, for killing one of those on a bridge on an overpass. The little flying guys I didn't like, the fish women in the road I didn't like.
The like puppet one.
That's a bit annoying. The ones that float up in the air.
Yeah. Again, the first time I encountered one of those, it just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. That fucking made me jump.
The ones that I thought were quite actually interesting were the lassies in the raincoats, and they blow a whistle and summon all the other.
Oh, the little children.
Yeah. Or you have like the or the parades. That come down the streets. Oh,
they are so cool when you say praise. Yeah,
I like those. Those are the little bits I like, but some of the others, I'm like, no. I even had a couple of missions where a guy didn't spawn in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it was like, oh, yeah, kill all the enemies. And I was like, I have. The route is clear. There's nothing here. So I had to go back down to ground floor, climb back up to see if I could find any new enemies. And then there was an enemy that had spawned on the roof. I was like, he wasn't there a minute ago. It was just like a random like police guy on the roof.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? I had quite a few kind of little moments like that.
I only had one like bug that caused me issue, which was it was the subway mission where people like going on the subway and not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And because again, too many of the side missions basically end in you're in an arena, kill everything.
Yeah.
And basically the guy sort of sent me off to do it, and I came back and I spoke to him and he was happy, but then his icon never disappeared and never seemed to register.
Yeah.
And then when I found that when I went back in and came back out, he'd gone, but then it didn't trigger and registered. That was the only sort of bug I had that I can remember.
As you say, the game shows potential. But it seemed like we've got a formula, copy-paste. Now it looks like we've got a lot of content. But they didn't.
I was speaking to somebody at work about this, and he said it's almost like the game started as a linear game. They then turned open world.
Yeah.
And they then had to put all lot of stuff in they didn't want to have to put in.
Yeah.
And well, that's what it feels like.
It had very much like a Shenmue vibe at one point. It's just like, oh yeah, you can open up the cupboards and you can like take documents out, and or you can go into someone's fridge and take all their food, or you know, walk into someone's house and stuff like that. It seemed like it was very Shenmue-y, but Shenmue only works because it pretty much holds your hand and says, go here.
Yeah.
The only other time that's been good is Yakuza, and that's where it went big open world, but that was done really well. Because the story really fucking beat you over the head and made you want to play more. Ghostwire didn't have enough of it. It just didn't have enough, which I was quite sad by, to be honest with you, because at points the game looked fantastic.
I think combat, it's a beautiful cheese.
Game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
Combat's very easy.
Ridiculously easy.
Combat, you die in combat, it's more through the fact that you've got so blasé, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, pretty much. You're just literally spamming shoot and...
Yeah.
Hoping kind of thing. Once you get a pattern down for certain enemies, they just go down like nothing. And that kind of bothered me towards the end. I just started steamrolling enemies that were appearing. I said, why are they even here?
Yeah.
You know, I'm ridiculously, even the end boss went down like a chump.
Yeah.
I died on that end boss because I wasn't paying attention. Like, at one shot, man, I was like, shit, how do I get away from this? How do I get... When I was like, oh, hang on a minute. I beat this trick the first run once. So, like, he did it once, I got out of it. Second time he did it, almost like my brain had switched off and I didn't know how to get out of it. All I had to do was turn left.
Yeah.
But, like, the second time, I was like, he went down like an absolute chump. I barely did anything. I think there was another big boss where I literally just stood there, soaking damage, like, necking healing items and just throwing fireballs at it.
Yeah,
that was it. I was like, where was the fight?
Yeah. I said, what I mainly liked about Ghostwire was, because I agree with everything you said, to be honest. I think the side mission, I think I even said at the time, the side missions were crap. Combat was too easy. Storyline is okay, but it's very predictable. It's like, you know what's happening before you get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the atmosphere. I really liked the atmosphere of the game. The atmosphere I really liked, and that's what drew me in. And actually, that atmosphere does a lot. If I get drawn into a game, into its atmosphere, I will forgive a lot of its things.
Sure. There were times, like, I was walking around Tokyo and just standing there in the rain, just like looking up at the signs. And
it looks beautiful. And when you go up top, when you've got like the power sword, like go up high and stuff, you can look around. It looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And jumping and flying from rooftop to rooftop, it's just beautiful game. That's why I actually love the atmosphere of it. That's why I particularly liked.
Mm-hmm.
I said it's so close to being.
There is something there. Just it poorly executed.
It's like it needed like another year of design on it.
Yeah,
I think polish. I think, you know, looks wise, it's fine. It just needs. More work.
Character model faces could have done with a bit of work, but I warmed up to those by the end of it.
Yeah.
They looked a bit rubbery to start with, but I did warm up to it.
To be honest, I'm so used to seeing character faces like that. It doesn't bother me. Games still struggle with character faces.
Yeah.
They always look either rubbery or like very matte.
Yeah.
They always seem to have a matte finish. Very few games can do character faces very well, but, you know, it's like, oh, that's good. It's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I did quite like the relationship between Kai and I've forgotten the character now. And your guy and Kai. I quite like the relationship
KK and Kai.
That's it. Anyway, I quite like their relationship.
Oh yeah, I thought that was neat. Like they had a neat little character dynamic. The background to KK was cool. There was a huge story beat in that game about the woman. With KK,
yes,
like the cyber woman, she had like three missions, right? Mm. But they were nothing burgers.
Yeah,
and I was like, why? And then, but then later on, they make a big deal out of it. I was like, what? Out of that, really? Like that was a big story beat.
Yeah, well, it happened off screen. That's the trouble. It all happened off screen.
Yeah. Well, kind of, it felt like it. Like, yeah. I was there. It's like, oh, now you've put my mind at ease. I was like, that was nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was actually a problem that I had with it, was that I didn't get to know any of these characters.
Yeah.
They were there and gone before I'd even given a shit, if you get what I mean. It weren't like, say, Johnny Silverhand, who's constantly there badgering you from the background, or Pan Am, you know,
The trouble is, by the nature of putting a game in a world where everybody's been turned to spirits and ghosts.
There's not really a lot you can do about it.
No.
There's not really a lot you can do with it. The world becomes very bland and empty by lack of interaction.
Yeah. It'd be more interesting if perhaps you, for whatever reason, some people hadn't been affected.
Well, I think it'd have been nicer to have seen spirits walking about.
Yes, rather than just be floating about the middle of nowhere trapped.
Yeah, because they're just stuck there going, and you just hear this like squeaky voice, and it's like, and?
Yeah.
And it's just standing, oh, I'm really sad. I've lost my daughter 3 feet over. Oh, there's your daughter. And then all of a sudden the daughter turns up, Mummy! And then they disappear. And I was like, thank you for helping my child. I was like,
yeah. Well, some of the quests, you only have to go back to the quest giver.
No.
Some of it's like, oh, I've lost my child. There's your child. Oh, good. You see Mummy? Oh, excellent. They disappear. Oh, good.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're like, like I said, I would have much preferred if you could have seen like spirits walking around.
Yeah,
they're still stuck to that plane, but you want to just see them. You wanted to see something actually happen other than just seeing demons just randomly spawn in or random, like, oh, these spirits have been trapped in cubes, defend them. And they spawn on the map like every however long it takes for them to spawn. I was like, there needed to be more. There needed to be variety. And thrashing school, I mean, as fun as it is to set fire to school kids, there's only so many times I can do it before I go, next time I'll just leave the gas on and throw a match into their apartment.
Yeah. I do like how they do some of the sort of idle stuff, but they are sort of leaning to the sort of like the background. So the school kids ones, you often find sort of sitting around on things and so forth, like the hanging out with their mates.
Yeah. Yeah.
I quite like those little touches and stuff.
Some of that is neat when you sneak up on them, but it's the frequency with which you see them. And you're like, well, I've already just killed about 40 of you in the last 10 minutes. Or, you know, how many big businessmen with fucking, how many big Slenderman businessmen can there be within 10 feet of you?
Yeah.
You know?
Imagine if the spirits, when you encounter them, the demons, if you like, you had like your game where all the spirits were just wandering the sheets and stuff. Imagine if when you create demons, if you trigger the demons off, they saw you, they could like call spirits to suddenly turn hostile against you.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be neat. That'd have been a nice mechanic. I get it that they're trying to gather spirits, but it was very empty. If you wanted to just sit there and chill out in Tokyo, it was really nice, but I would have preferred just a little something more, just a little bit more meat on those bones, you know?
Yeah.
But, for £7, I won't complain. I paid $7 for it. That was pretty solid. But if I paid full price for that, I'd have been really disappointed.
Yeah.
I had quite high hopes for that game, and it did quite let me down.
I think from that time, from when it came out, that was a lot of people's general sort of report was that it was not good enough for the price. But then people seem to now like it mainly because it is cheap, to get hold of, a copy.
There were some points I was really psyched, and other times I was just like, I'll just keep soaking damage and healing.
Yeah,
you know, but
I said it's.
Okay. Play it through, finish it, and let me know what you think.
I'm going to finish it. Yeah, I just need to sort of like. It's the sort of game where I want to sit down and play for like several hours in a go.
The last couple chapters don't last very long.
Yeah.
I won't tell you why or whatever, but
once you get to the end of chapter 4, it's like a point of no return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then five and six just blink and they're gone.
Yeah. It's a bit like the last bit in Cyberpunk when you go onto that lift, that last little segment you can do in about like half an hour.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Depending on what path you take. Yeah. So, oh, good. All right, then, Scars. Well, I think that'll be, unless you've got anything else you want to do.
That's everything, Gav.
Marvellous, marvellous. So, thank you both for joining us tonight. If you enjoyed this, then please come check us out on our next podcast, which will be on the 23rd of September. On Saturday at 9:30, you can check us out here on youtube.com/randnerds or on twitch.tv/randnerds. We are doing games night. You can, our next games night is this Wednesday on the 13th at approximately 8:30 GMT. We're still in the bayou, I believe. And you can check us out on our show. So you can check out my stream at twitch.tv/thesuffolkram.
And I'm twitch.tv/skazis, SK4ZZI0US.
We look forward to seeing you then. And thank you very much, everybody, for joining us tonight.
Cool. Take it easy, guys.
Say hey, everybody.